Hey there, Bet Blast podcast listeners. We come to you today with some exciting news. Nominations for DVM360's 4th Annual Veterinary Heroes Awards have been extended until May 31st. This means that you have almost 6 more weeks to nominate your veterinary superhero. Remember, we are honoring one person from 11 different categories. Keep in mind that these are peer-to-peer nominations, so you are encouraged to nominate any veterinary professional, no matter what you specialize in. So don't forget to nominate your veterinary superhero by May 31st. Check out DVM360 to learn more, and the link to nominate will be in today's show notes. Enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. You know what? Mentorship matters. I'm going to say that one more time. Mentorship matters. And what are you doing? Are you a mentor? Are you a mentee? And what does that look like in your personal career here in veterinary medicine? And joining us is our wonderful friend and colleague, Dr. Katie Fish. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, well, I can't think of anybody more passionate about mentorship than you. So we're going to chat a little bit about what that looks like and what our listeners can do to get maybe a little bit more involved with mentorship. So a little bit of information about our great colleague here. Dr. Fish received her undergrad degree at the University of Buffalo and her DVM degree from Cornell University. We got to give Matt props. She was a small animal general practitioner for 16 years before transitioning to becoming a full-time mentor for Monroe Veterinary Associates in Rochester, New York, which later became a Thrive Pet Healthcare partner. There, she was responsible for onboarding and providing one-on-one medical, surgical, and leadership coaching support to new graduates at 18 hospitals. In 2023, Dr. Fish became the director of mentorship programs for Thrive, which includes Meant to Thrive, a one-year medical mentorship program that meets doctors where they are, offering a unique individualized approach that positions each veterinarian for success in the profession that they love. So that's awesome. So, okay, so let's back up a little bit and chat a little bit about that. So I'm really interested in hearing why you chose to set clinical practices aside and focusing on mentoring. I think this is actually the first time that I've ever heard of that. So was there a particular event in your career that triggered this? What was that like?
There was. So it was actually kind of a tumultuous journey that got me where I am now. But looking back, I couldn't be more grateful for it. I left clinical practice because of burnout. And it was a long time coming. I didn't recognize it, or I ignored it, or I didn't know how to recognize it. And it got me in a position where I was at a crisis point and I needed to do something. And I stepped away from practice without a plan, which was absolutely terrifying, but also necessary for my own well-being. And I was very fortunate. So I was working at a practice that was part of a privately owned group of practices in Rochester, New York, Monroe Veterinary Associates, and the leadership reached out to me and said, you know what, we've been thinking about creating a mentoring position. Are you interested? And it was a perfect fit for me. It was a couple of months after I had walked out of practice and you know, said my farewells and had no intention of going back into work so soon, but I tried it out and absolutely loved it. And so because of all that, I am super passionate about protecting not only early career veterinarians, but all of my colleagues, helping to equip them with the tools that they need to recognize the dangers of burnout and prevent it.
And what was like the last straw for you where you're like, oh gosh, I think I'm done. Was there a moment that you recognized like, oh, I'm out?
Yeah. So I actually had suicidal ideation. I had suicidal thoughts and to the point that it terrified me. And looking back and after getting medical help, I recognized and now understand that that's often what suicide looks like, is that you don't necessarily think, I want to leave this earth, but I just was looking for an escape. I wanted to get away from my current situation. So heavy stuff, but it's also proof that you can 100% recover from those types of episodes in life.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing that too. And we're so glad that you're here doing all this great work, my friend. So I want to talk about, you know, the workplace culture too. So what approaches do you advocate for when you're cultivating a positive and supportive workplace culture within the vet industry?
Yeah, so I think there's so many things that we can do to help address positive culture, but it all comes down to being about meeting the needs and showing support for individuals. So all those individuals that make up the team and all contribute to the workplace culture, because it's all about fostering the right attitudes and the right behaviors in those individuals. So for me, you know, obviously I'm a huge proponent of mentorship and see how that can promote those types of positive behaviors. Because really at its core, I see mentorship as a means of ensuring that someone is doing the best work that they can in their role. If you're a doctor, we're focusing on how can you be, you know, providing the best care to your patients and clients. Similarly, if you're a technician, how can you be providing the best care to your patients and clients? And then also the other side of mentorship is how can you ensure that person who's performing the role of a doctor or a technician or a receptionist, whatever the role in the hospital is, how can we ensure that they're being seen and fully supported as a human, and that we're fostering their needs and happiness in the role?
Yeah, I love that. It's not just the educational components of building up, but also taking care of like their emotional well-being, make sure that they're comfortable with where they are. So I really like that. I wrote an article for DVM360 a couple months ago, and it was about how some of us will hoard knowledge and not share it, right? And I know this is going to talk about mentorship, but some of the remarks that we had that came back from that article were exactly to your point, the fact that I didn't feel like my best interest was being protected. They felt like they wanted to share that information for job security, but not wanting to teach others about certain surgical procedures. An example that someone mentioned is they wanted to learn how to do a PU surgery on a cat. And this doctor never put the time forward. They said, no, we don't have time for it. They know they had the time for it. They just didn't want to share that knowledge with this new graduate. And so that graduate ended up leaving the practice. And so that's pretty tough, right?
Yeah, that's so sad to me because, right. I mean, think about how many more patients could be helped if there's just one more doctor who knows how to do a procedure. Right. And even as the mentor, it's fulfilling, you know, there's all of these unseen benefits, you know, to the mentor by supporting their mentees.
Right. And so, you know, that's a barrier. What are some other barriers that you hear about when you talk about mentorship?
Yeah. So the big things that I think about are, do we have the skills and knowledge to be mentors? Do we know how to do it? Because like we go to school to be veterinarians, we don't go to school to be educators or coaches necessarily. And yet a lot of times we end up taking on that role in our careers. And so I think a lot about like there's the bootstrap mentality that I think it's still out there. I certainly experienced it early in my career where, well, you know, I've made it through my education mostly by my own hard work and persistence, and that's going to continue into practice. So it's the doctors that have the textbook out on the surgery table next to them while they're doing surgery. And there's certain aspects of that are good, but I think there's a better way to do it. And then I think there's the other aspect of that is, I think there's still a culture of doctors who had, you know, really harsh or even punitive mentorship earlier in their careers, and that's all they know. And so there's this thought of, well, this is how I was raised in the profession. So must be the right way to do it. And I certainly don't ascribe to that either.
It's almost like, because I had to go through trial by fire. Now you should too. Kind of a thing, right?
Yeah. And
we now know, obviously, it's such a different time now with a lot of great resources that are available to everyone these days too, both in the virtual space. But to your point, I think having a physical person, like literally a mentor that's there, hopefully where you're working, really helps, because I need to review lab work, or I want to go over a case at the end of the evening with you, or learn a procedure. I think the big thing that comes to my mind when I chat about this is patience. You know, patience is, we've all been there, and there's a learning curve. That's why it's called learning. And I think, and it may not be for everyone, but you definitely have to pack your patience and realize that. But nothing gives me greater joy personally, Katie, than knowing that I was a small part of somebody's success with a procedure or communication or something that I taught them. And to the listeners, this is just my take on this, is I think it's part of our due diligence. You know, I think when we are veterinary professionals, technicians, and we're in this industry, it's part of our job to give back and pave the way for future generations for the greater good of our patients. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. You took the words right out of my mouth. And you know, a lot will say that mentoring is a natural continuum of the profession, that we will experience mentorship as mentees, and then we get to pass that along to the next generation. But you also mentioned how mentorship requires patience, and it absolutely does. There are certain burdens of mentorship. It requires patience. It requires time. There's emotional and mental investments too. And so that's definitely another barrier that comes up. And in my role, it's really exciting because every new grad or every mentee, they're going to have an in-hospital person that's working with them. But that person, that's a doctor who's carrying their own caseload and seeing their own patients. And so what I get to do is I and my team of regional mentors, that's all we do, is focus entirely on mentorship. We're solely devoted to mentorship, and we partner with those early career veterinarians needing mentorship and their in-hospital mentor, so that we can ensure that both individuals are getting the support that they need. Because it's not just about the mentee, the mentor, they have, you know, it's an ask for them. Right. And what can we do to help support them, lift the burden, and provide them resources to be successful too?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone needs resources on both ends. So let's talk about early career veterinarians. So what are some questions you would encourage early career veterinarians to ask when they're looking for a place to kick off their career? And like, what should they pay attention to when talking to their future employers or their teams?
Yeah. So I think mentorship's really the hot topic right now, you know, that it's the biggest ask, or at least one of the biggest asks of new grads. And so they're all looking for mentorship. And I think it's really important when they're looking for mentorship to have open conversations with potential employers about, what does mentorship look like in your practice or in your organization? Because to do mentorship right, it does take some structure and attention to the individual and flexibility, but also with some gentle guidelines and expectations. So there needs to be a well thought out and intentional approach to how they're doing it.
Yeah, it has to be a well thought out approach. And do you think that there should be some sort of a plan in place? So if I'm a new graduate, and I interview for practices, and sometimes they'll say, oh yeah, like we'll pair you up with Dr. X and they're fantastic. But some of the new graduates, I think a majority of them are really asking for, literally, is there a program within the practice? So tell me a little bit more about that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I absolutely agree with that. I think if you're going to claim to have a mentorship program, there needs to be structure and intention behind it. So if I was an early career vet interviewing, I would want to know, well, what do you expect from me in my first 3 months, 6 months? Where do you expect me to be? And how are you going to provide me support to get there? what's my relationship with my mentor going to look like? How often are we going to have check-ins? What kinds of things are we going to address? What's the meat of that relationship going to look like? And then what other resources do I have available? Is your hospital able to leverage technology to get me access to CE or to consultations with other doctors? What kinds of things do I have access to from a technology standpoint?
Yeah, technology is huge right now. So it's a great, I didn't even think of that. So that's awesome too. You think of technology, AI that's out there. And I'm curious to know a little bit about Meant to Thrive. Is that a structured program that's at the hospitals?
It is, yes. So Meant to Thrive is our national level program, is kind of the umbrella over the top that offers a rolling admission year round. So anytime somebody joins a practice, whether they're a new grad or a more experienced doctor who just wants access to mentorship resources, they're welcome to jump into the program and ride it out for a year. We offer once a week RACE-approved 1-hour presentation on Teams with interaction with a medical leader on either a professional skills topic or a medical topic. So like today, we have an ECG interpretation presentation later today happening. And so they're all RACE-approved, opportunity to get 50 CE credits over the course of the year without having to leave your hospital. And we also have an on-demand chat, which is a really cool resource. Anyone can come on, post questions about cases, post radiographs, lab work, and get opinions and judgment-free support from a network of several experienced veterinarians across all lanes of practice. So we've got GP doctors, ER doctors, and specialists. And you'll often get support suggestions from multiple different lanes of practice. So I enjoy reading them and getting that kind of, I learn from it as well.
Yeah. I love that you said judgment-free support, because I feel like new graduates always are like, oh, this is such a stupid question. And there's no such thing, as we all know. No one's judging here. We're all working together for the greater good. But I love that you said that, because it's so important to recognize that.
It is. And it's important to recognize that not only is it important, but that, like, it's scary. It's scary to post a question or reveal your thought process to a forum of other veterinarians, including specialists and experienced doctors. So we need to do everything we can to make it as safe an environment as possible.
Yes, absolutely. Well, this has been fantastic, Dr. Fish, but I can't let you go without asking a fun question. I have a fun one. So a lot of us want to know, what are you watching on TV, Netflix, Hulu, anything good? Do you have a show recommendation that you're currently watching?
Well, I'm currently enjoying Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm a little behind the times, but it just came out on Netflix, so I'm finally getting around to watching it.
That's a good one. Good recommendation. So listeners, if you haven't caught that one, you got to catch the one. That's a good one. Well, that's great. Thank you so much, Dr. Katie Fish, for joining us.
Thank you.
And if you want to learn more about Thrive Pet Healthcare, you can check them out online at thrivepetcare.com. Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget to rate this podcast. Always helps us out as we continue to grow. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.